I'm turning, and I hope you will, your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, and I'd like to begin reading verse number 1 through verse number 4. Blessed are they that are perfect in the way, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. Yea, they do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us thy precepts, that we should observe them diligently. This verse connected with another verse in the 119th Psalm serves as a basis for my thoughts today. I want to look at verse number 11. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How wonderful it is that God made man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God then has the power and gave the power of choice to mankind. You and I can choose or refuse to serve our God. God has given us that choice. God then made man holy, and he made him righteous, but man sinned. The God that made man is a holy God, a righteous God, a sinless God that cannot be tempted. James said, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. But each man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. But God is perfect. I notice this verse in Psalms 18, the 30th verse. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a shield unto all them that take refuge in him. Brethren, let me tell you, God is a perfect God. The God that I've worshipped for 54 years is a God that is perfect, that cannot be tempted, that does not tempt us. And he's given us a perfect word. Thank God he loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. God is righteous. The 145th Psalm, verse number 17. The psalmist said, Jehovah is righteous in all of his ways and gracious in all of his works. God is a righteous God. He is a perfect God. He is a sinless God. God then gave a law, and that law that God gave is a perfect law. When I turn to the 19th Psalm, the psalmist said in verse number 7, the law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. I know then that God's law is perfect. It has set down the standards of morals that you and I are to live by. I notice how the Bible teaches in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. It tells us of God's morals. It teaches you and me how we are to conduct ourselves in this life. So the Bible then is very, very plain. Man doesn't like what God says. He never has and he never will. But God's Word, both Old and New Testaments, teach us God's laws on morals. I'd like this morning to think about a few things. God has standards of conduct for man to follow in order that man may be found acceptable in the sight of God. The Word of God has much to say in both Old and New Testaments about how we are to treat and deal with our fellow human beings. How you and I are to conduct our lives. God deals with honoring parents. God deals with the subject of murder. He also tells us about lying and covetousness. When you read both Old and New Testaments, you see that the Bible tells us about adultery. It tells us about marriage, seduction. It tells us about honesty, how we are to treat our fellow man, and even how we're to dress. God's law leaves nothing out. It's God's standard for man's moral conduct. So this morning, I want us to take the thoughts of biblical views on morality. What was man's views of morality in Bible times? Now, this is the way my subject was given to me, and I'm going to deal with it that way. How has man treated God's law in times gone by? In Old Testament times, in the antediluvian world, how did man treat God's laws? Well, there's always been some men who are desirous of knowing what God has said and are willing to try to do what God tells them to do. They want to know, what has God commanded? And then they seek to obey what God has taught. There's always been the majority of people who care nothing for what God has said. They are not interested in what God teaches, and they refuse to do or be regulated by their Creator. So when you go to the Old Testament, think of the things that were done. After all that God did for the children of Israel, they refused to obey Him. I'll give you time to turn to a few passages. First one's found in the 9th chapter of the book of Nehemiah and verse 16. Nehemiah says, "And they and our fathers dealt proudly with a heart, and they hardened their neck." Sounds like today, doesn't it? "And they hearkened not unto thy commandments." Now just go a little bit further in verse 26. "Nevertheless, they were disobedient, and they rebelled against thee. And they cast the law behind their back, and they slew the prophets that testified against them to turn them again unto thee. And they wrought great provocations." Sounds like today, doesn't it? This passage is as modern as today's newspaper. Who's he talking about? Nehemiah is talking about God's people. Those who were selected, those people we call the Israelites or the Jews. But Jeremiah dealt with the very same thing. In the 5th chapter of Jeremiah, here is an interesting verse. Listen as I read the American Standard Version. "O Jehovah, do not thine eyes look upon truth? Hast thou stricken them, but they are not grieved? Thou hast consumed them, and they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock." There's a sermon. "And they have refused to return." Have you run into some hard rock faces? Well, that's exactly what Jeremiah did. And that's what some preachers are finding this very day. These few passages that I've used tell of man's refusal to do what God says, to be regulated and controlled by the God that created them. They refused it. Man, then, without God's restraint, becomes corrupt morally. So I go through the Old Testament. Old great prophets, great leaders, great patriarchs walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And we find these men that were righteous in their generations. And of course you remember the story of Noah, how great he was. He refused to walk other than the directions of God. When man does not do what God says, he becomes corrupt. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 5 and verse 6, it tells about the condition of man in the antediluvian world. The world before the flood. Jehovah saw that wickedness of man was great upon the earth, that every imagination and thought of his hearts was only evil continually. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him in his heart. I wonder what God thinks about when he looks at America today. God destroyed the antediluvian world, but he saved the man by the name of Noah and his family, simply because they were righteous. Noah was a man that pleased God, followed God's instructions. The Bible said that every thought and every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. Thank God there were men like Noah. There are men like Noah today who stand firm for the truth. Thank God there are men who love what God has said and are determined to do what he teaches. Man has not changed. Oh, yes, he may wear different clothes and different styles, but man still eats and sleeps. He still has to have water. Outwardly, man hasn't changed one bit since the days of the antediluvians. More than that, he hasn't changed at heart. Man is the very same as they were 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000 years ago. When I think of what the Bible teaches, man has not changed, not inwardly. You look at us and we may dress different, we may comb our hair different, but let me tell you, man still hates. Man still disobeys God. Man loves God or disobeys God. He has a choice. Man rebels or he lies. He tells the truth or otherwise. And so man hasn't changed. I want you to think about men in Bible times. For the most part, man has given himself over to do what he wants. He is going to give in to his own desires. Now, this happened back then, but it also happens now. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, did what they wanted to do. Instead of obeying God, you remember, they disobeyed. So human beings have chose, for the most part, to disobey God. In the little old town where I live, most of the people disobey God. In the town where you live, the same is true. In the state of Texas, in the United States, and around the world, the masses of humanity have refused to follow what their Creator has taught. Man has given in to his anger and jealousy. This isn't anything new. So when I think about what happened, unrepenting Cain slew his righteous brother Abel. Now he had a chance to repent. God gave it to him, but he refused to obey. Man hasn't changed. It's not a new story about being dishonest. Lies, deceivers. I always think about poor old Jacob who worked so long for Rachel. Now his father-in-law intended to deceive him. He purposed that. Of course, I don't understand all the circumstances, but when Jacob woke up in the morning and found that he had been asleep with Leah, wow, what did he say? He said, "Wherefore hast thou then beguiled me?" Why, it was a planned, it was a scheme thing. So man plans and schemes today. Drunkenness is almost as old as the age of man. I remember Lot's daughters got him drunk, committed incest. Both of them became pregnant as a result. And even Noah, that righteous man, got drunk, was lying in his tent naked, and you remember the results. Drunkenness. There's not anything more disgusting than a drunk. When I was a little boy, I had sat in the house one day, and a friend of my folks came. He was so drunk he couldn't stand up. Can you imagine a full-grown man sitting in the floor and going around to different people and tying and untying their shoes and looking up and laughing as stupidly as he was? I'll never forget that. God help me to never become so foolish as to become drunk and do the things that people do in their drunken stupors. My sweet wife, her father died in a drunken fit. Oh, I hate alcohol. I hate drunkenness. I don't hate the people, but I hate what they do as a result. Think of how old Nabal, that foolish man, how he treated David. But the Bible said he made a great feast. And the Bible says he was so drunk. Listen, Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Both Old and New Testaments condemn being drunk. But look what happens today. People are slaughtered, are murdered by drunken drivers. Broken families, broken homes, children suffer as a result of one or both of the parents being alcoholics. You want to know how I feel about it? I despise alcoholism. Both Old and New Testament tell us. Listen to this, please. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Listen again. Paul says, or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see? Listed right along with those things that we call horrible sins are drunkards. They're not going to go to heaven. They must repent. And you and I need to help them within all the power that we have to stop this hideous sin. The Roman Christians were told by the Apostle Paul, let us walk becomingly as it is day, not in revelings and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. Drunkenness is listed in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, as one of the works of the flesh. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like, listen, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they that practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Drunkenness, deceivings, lyings, cheatings. And by the way, I was a little upset the other day when I bought an automobile and I found out the prices that they were charging. Well, you should have known, Gus, dumb. You should have known what they're going to charge you, interest. You should have known. Yeah, I knew. But I didn't know some of the things that they were going to tie up with it. So I called the young lady. She said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, honey, it's not your fault, I know. But you know the company and the people that are in it are going to go to hell for practicing usury. They're charging me 10.5%. And the bank pays me less than 3. Somebody's getting rich and I'm getting poor. And somebody's going to pay for it in the day of judgment. Hey, they practiced it in the Old Testament times. Sin of drunkenness was practiced in Bible times. What about rape? Oh, brethren, I tell you, I despise rape. Rape is not a sin of modern man. You remember Ammon? Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah, do you remember how he raped his sister Tamar? Do you remember how he connived to get her to bring his food? Well, Absalom, his brother, despised him for the act of rape. And when he was drunk, Absalom had him killed. I think about how these things happen. The law of Moses condemns rape. What's going to happen? All you have to do is read the Old Covenant, read the book of Leviticus, read the book of Deuteronomy. And the Bible says that the man that rapes should be put to death. But we don't do that anymore. I think about Sechem, the son of Hamor, how that he raped Dinah. Oh, you say, well, yeah, but he acted like he repented. Well, maybe he did. But it was such a straw in the camel's back that the brothers couldn't stand to allow it to go on. And as a result, you remember, there was an agreement made with Shechem and all the men of the city. They were to be circumcised. And they obeyed. They did that very thing. But Simeon and Levi, while they were yet sore from the circumcision, went through and killed every single man in the city. That would have never happened if Shechem had never been a rapist. So I think about rape today. What are they going to do with them? I know what I would do if I were allowed to do it, but I am not. Homosexuality is an ungodly sin. And brethren, it really burrs me down when I see that some of our brethren try to uphold those who are committing this horrible sin. Homosexuals are nauseating. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon their hands. You've been feeling sorry for homosexuals who say, well, after all, God made me this way. You know, a fornicator could say the same thing, couldn't we? Hmm? Or anybody else. Listen to Leviticus 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Briefly, the city of Sodom was destroyed because it was inhabited by homosexuals. They could not find 10 righteous souls in that whole city. Two angels came to visit Lot. They stayed in his house. The homosexuals gathered around the house and they began to cry, send out these men that we may know them. Simply meaning we want to commit sodomy with them. That's what it is. Lot said, let me give you my virgin daughters. But they weren't interested in that. These homosexuals were blinded by the angels. Lot and his wife and daughters escaped, but God rained down fire and destroyed that city because of homosexuality. The repulsive homosexuals of Gibeah. Brethren, I cannot help but think of those men, what they did, the hideous sin of their ungodly life. When this Levite came into the city of Gibeah, he and his concubine were going to stay on the street at night. There was no place for them. But an old man came in from the field and said, not so. No, you come in my house and you stay with me. What happened? The homosexuals of Gibeah gathered around the house and began to pound on the doors and say, send out this man that's your guest. Well, the old man went out and he pleaded with them, tried very best to get them dissuaded. He even offered to give them the virgin daughter and the concubine of this man that was a visitor in his house. They wouldn't listen. And finally, the concubine was pushed out. All night long, those homosexuals committed sodomy with her. And as it began to get daylight, they let her go. And she dragged herself up to the house and put her hands upon the footstool of the door. When the man got up to go, he saw the woman there and he said, get up, we've got to go, we've got to leave. And he found that she was dead. He carried her body back to his home, took his knife and cut her body into 12 pieces and sent those pieces out among the children of Israel. This is what you have in Gibeah. Let me tell you, friends, homosexuals are violent people. They are sinful people. They are not to be condoned or cuddled. It's a hideous crime that they are committing. Oh, it's not new. Oh, no. So we find they're becoming brazen and militant, and they've come out of the closet today. And you buck them and you see what'll happen to you. Let me tell you, I despise homosexuals. You might say, somebody say, hey, did you know that Gus committed adultery? You could say, well, maybe that. But don't you ever believe that he committed sodomy? That is absolutely sickening and disgusting. And it's a sin that God despises. And it was found in both Old and New Testaments. The Apostle Paul wrote about homosexuals. How much time have I got, Jerry? That's not enough. That's okay. But anyway, you can read it for yourself in the first chapter of Romans. You can read about what Paul said about these homosexuals, doing that which is against nature, leaving the natural use of man and the natural use of women. He condemns this very thing. He calls it the error of which is their due. I noticed something else. Homosexuals is such a despicable sin that Paul writes and said, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, brethren, I want you to notice. Effeminate and abusers of themselves with men will cover the homosexual act. Ancient man gave vent to his passions in fornication and in adultery. God condemned sexual activity outside of marriage, extramarital sex, and so forth. Both sins were practiced in Bible times, in the Old Testament and in the New. The vivid story of David and Bathsheba, we never forget. But listen to this verse, please. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. And the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Can you imagine the piles of bodies that would be laying around us today if we did that? Think of how many people are involved in fornication, in adultery. Jesus said, and we have a stricter law now than they had then. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. Women are not going to be found guiltless who dress or undress in such a way as to cause men to commit mental adultery. Men are not going to be guiltless who commit that act. But it's as modern as today's newspaper. You've had problems in this city with these places of people being sexually involved in videos and so forth. The only cause for divorce and remarriage, Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, is fornication, unfaithfulness. Men are divorcing for every cause this day and time. More than half of marriages end in divorce itself. Modern views of morality, what are they today? When you read the Bible, you find out that it's like reading today's paper or vice versa. People have not changed. We're not any different. The masses of human beings are going to give in to their passions and their desires and lusts. Mark it down, it's going to happen. Regardless of what God says, they're going to do what they want. They pay no attention to the morals given in the Bible. Humans refuse to obey the laws of the country. Do you suppose they're going to obey God and His laws? Forget it. It'll never happen. Modern man tries to convince himself there is no God. We had a debate here last year. Farrell Till tried to tell us, hey, you're not going to be responsible. There is no God. There's no Bible. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Don't worry about it. Just go on and do what you do. And so we've given in to the modern commercials. Get all the gusto you can. Hey, these beer advertisements. You only go around once. Man's theme is live for today. Do what you want to do. Man is really clever. Listen to what he says. Try it. You'll like it. If you like it, do it. If it feels good, do it. If you want it, get it. You see, that's what they did in the Old Testament times. It's just as modern as today. Man hasn't changed at all. What's the result? Crime is on the increase. Our men in the law enforcement offices do not know what to do. Building new prisons and building new jailhouses, all these things. Stealing has become big time. They're in gangs now in countries. You'd be surprised when you read the account. Respected people in the community are involved in stealing on big time basis. As a result, divorce is growing every day. Man's attitude toward marriage, shacking up, living together, and the divorces come, hearts are broken, and children suffer greatly as a result. Modern, oh yes, murder is nothing new. In the Old Testament or in the New, read your newspaper, the radio, listen to television. Every day in our cities, they're filled with murders. Now we've got a new exciting way to kill people. Drive-by shooting. Blow them up. So you got it right here in this city. It ain't anything new. In Hong Kong, you can't have guns, but you can have knives. Or you can have a cleaver, which they call a chopper. Just kill them. If you don't like them, get rid of them. That's the way to do it. That's the modern way. And brethren, let me tell you, the worst thing of all that I know of in murder right now is abortion. The latest way to kill those innocent babies just before they're born, and parts of their bodies are coming out of the womb, you turn the baby over and you take scissors and stick them in the brain and take a suction machine and suck their brains out. And that's fine. It's murder, bless your heart. And Americans are going to pay for it. What a hideous sin. Drunkenness. Sex out of marriage. Jerry, have I got 2 minutes?
No, sir, but...
I'll stop.
You'll probably say for me anyway.
The world is plagued with liars and thieves and murderers and drunkards and fornicators and drug addicts and homosexuals and rapists, hateful people. Thank God for precious souls. There's always been some, though they've been few. Thank God there's always been men who say, God, tell us what you want us to do, and we'll do it. Thank God there's some people who love the Creator and His Word. No wonder Jesus said, enter ye by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there are that enter in thereby. Narrow is the gate and straitened is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Thank you, dear God, for giving us your word. We can know what you want us to do. Thank you, dear God, that we can follow your word and then have hope of eternal life. We know man hasn't changed, but some of us have, and the gospel will change us. God bless you and thank you for your attention.